Hello, Yes But Why listeners. This is your host, Amy Jordan. Welcome to Yes But Why, episode 299, my chat with the mayor of improv, Mark Turpin. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Yes But Why podcast is sponsored by Audible. Sign up today for your 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy. I can almost guarantee that there's something there for you. You get a free audiobook download as soon as you sign up, and then every month when you pay for your credit and your monthly fee, you get another credit and you can get another book. But there's also like so much that's included, so many books and podcasts that you can check out, including Yes But Why. You can totally listen to Yes But Why through the Audible app. Hey, bonus. Go now to audibletrial.com/yesbutwhy to sign up and get your account today. Yes But Why podcast is also brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. PodcastCadet.com is the company that my husband Chris and I run to help podcasters. We really just want to provide resources to people like ourselves who are wanting to get into the podcast game. As you heard, this is episode 299. So at this point, I've done many years. I want to say like 5 years or something of this podcast, which is wild. Look forward to the retrospective in episode 300 coming up. But I've done a lot and I want to be a resource to other podcasters. If you want to get into it, contact us. We can tell you everything that we've learned. We can connect you with the right equipment for you to buy or the editing software that we find easiest. And like, I'm not great with technology, so like, I'll tell you for sure. But if you are super into technology and you understand all of the bells and whistles, Chris is an audio engineer and he knows everything about that. He can even guide you to decide what computer you want to buy or microphone, anything like that. We want to be there for you, so go to podcastcadet.com, and there are also some videos and things on there, just resources for you to get started. If you want to contact us after that, we're happy to help with whatever you need, whether we help you or we connect you to somebody that we know who is a reputable source for marketing or something like that. Mention code YBY20 if you happen to buy something, and then you get 20% off that service. Let us help you. podcastcadet.com. This week on Yes But Why, I talk to improviser Mark Turpin, member of Liverpool Comedy Improv and performer in the Oikers Improv Comedy Troupe. Mark and I are connected online as part of the global improv community. Listen in as we chat about talking to strangers, walking in nature, and Zoomprov. I now present to you Yes But Why episode 299. The mayor of improv, Mark Turpin, talks about magic, laughter, and friendship. Enjoy. I'm Amy Jordan, and this is
Yes But Why.
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 This is the Yes But Why podcast.
I like starting with the beginning of your life because I think the way that children are creative is the purest sense of who they are and who we are. So I wondered, what kind of ways did you play when you were a child with your siblings or friends?
So I'm one of two, and I'm the oldest by 8 years. So for the first few years of my life, I was actually on my own. So I was just used to playing by myself with toys and games. And so I just kept myself entertained, so to speak, whether playing with toy cars, you know, like driving them around, or, you know, like building things out of Lego, or just painting or drawing, or just making stories up. I was quite happy being on my own. I'm quite happy entertaining myself. I mean, I did have friends, but if there was nobody around to play with, I'd just be happy on my own. Doing various things.
How did having the sibling mess that up? I mean, improve that, change it.
I mean, when we grew up as children, it was difficult because obviously being 8 years younger, she could wrap my parents round her finger. So every time she did something wrong, I would get the blame, even if I was in the same room.
Oh, I see, I see.
All so, right. She likes, yeah, so she turned on the waterworks, start crying, and then I would get the blame, even though I wasn't doing anything at the time. So she was very sly in that respect.
Oh, but, yeah. So did you guys fight more than you played?
We did play a little bit. Obviously, we've been in 8 year difference.
Sure.
We didn't play a lot as such, but we got on in the main. There were times, though, like I said, when she would irritate me and I would probably irritate her being a big brother, and she probably thought I was cramping her style, but it's funny now because we do get on now. Obviously, we're both adults. I mean, she's got a little boy, or little boy's 10 now, so she's a mother and she's married. So it's funny when you look back, we didn't get on a great deal at the time, but now we get on fine. It's weird.
Yeah.
When you look back. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if perhaps you were just sort of more suited to doing things on your own. Do you find now that you're more, you know, like happy when you get to do projects, sort of like small projects on your own, work on things like that? Or are you, you know, wanting to be in larger groups?
I mean, even though we'll do things with other people, like obviously improv, I enjoy my own company just as much still, even now. I'm quite happy just reading the book, or I just write for fun, basically, if I can. Just doodling and just writing when I get the inspiration. I'm quite happy reading, or sometimes I like to cook on my own. So I work from home most of the time, so I do a lot of the cooking before my partner gets home from work.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of time. She works as a physician, like a doctor. I don't know what you call it in the States, but she's like a general practice doctor. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So intense.
Yeah.
Good on you for cooking.
Yeah. So, that's a bit of quality time for me, just cooking on my own, just preparing the food and preparing the meal. And I just find that therapeutic, being on my own, because I can do what I need to do, listen to music.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I always bring up the childhood thing is that I really feel like stuff that happens when we were little, or like who we were when we were little, really informs our adult selves, you know, in a way that we don't really like connect to, because there's a point in growing up where you kind of pass through a veil, you know, I think. And I always talk about this when I'm talking about improv too, that there's like a play time when you are just free and you can have, you know, you can just play and be yourself, and like, it's fine. And like, whatever happens, happens. And like, you don't hang on to it as much. And then you get through a certain point in understanding, sort of like a leap of knowledge, where you suddenly feel weird about doing things, and other people's opinions matter to you. And, you know, that's when people tend to lose the ability to do improv, you know, like kids can just play and you can be like, we're dinosaurs, and they don't ask why or how or give me some more information about that. Like, they're just like, cool, you know. But when you get older, there's like all this, I'm going to use the word crustiness. It's just the first thing I thought of, but I imagine it sort of like as barnacles, you know what I mean? Mm. Where like, we're held back from what's going on. So the reason why I explain is because I find it interesting that like the thing that was your formative childhood part, the first 8 years, because I honestly think it's like 8 to 10 when that veil is, like when you walk through and like hormones start and like your understanding of like, wait, other people care about me in some way, like at that point, right? So I wonder if, like, you know, you had that only child period of time, and then that, like, solidifies this, like, comfort of having time on your own and having these, like, small projects that you can take care of.
Yeah, it's weird you say about improv, because I think finding improv for me was like the first time I've actually really found something I'm passionate about and really felt, and like you said about being a child, doing improv, like a drop-in session or a jam for 2 hours, it gives you that sense of freedom that you had when you were a young child for like the first 8 years, as you were saying. And when I do improv, for the first time in my life, I found that freedom, because I've done other things previously that I enjoyed doing, but I didn't really feel passionate about. And when I found improv, because I had no performing background whatsoever, improv was just one of those things I've always wanted to try but never got around to doing, because I'm always a person, especially in late life, where I want to try something, give it a go, and if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. And I found an improv group in Manchester, where I'm actually from, in England. And there's this group doing improv drop-in sessions once a week. And I thought, oh, I signed up to the group before for the first time and I never got around to going. And then one day I thought, oh, I'm going to go to this, see what it's like. And it just opened my eyes as to how you can make something up on the spot and it just be so amazing to watch. And you think, wow. I mean, I think I spent most of the time just sat there in awe watching other people do it. I think I got once or twice and I just had a brain freeze, but I still felt something to go, keep going back.
Yeah.
And here I am 5.5 years later, still enjoying it. And it's just, and that's 2 hours every week or however often you do it.
Yeah.
That freedom you get and just the laughter you hear, whether it's watching someone or being in a scene with someone else. And it's, I mean, sometimes I can do a scene with someone and I can just corpse with laughter because what somebody says to me is just so funny. I've actually literally broke down in tears of laughter a couple of times. It's just been so debilitating.
There is something really beautiful about having, you know, finding a group where you can feel safe and you can finally let your guard down and really be able to enjoy that time. Like, I feel like people are always making fun of improv and I'm like, go ahead, keep making fun of it. Because the more you make fun of it, the more you keep it to be like a cool outsider thing to do. And the thing about it is it's mostly, not all, but mostly really nice people who are there to be nice and who enjoy, like, the act of yes-anding and giving and receiving and being a trustworthy partner enough to allow a person to step out on a ledge and you're like, it's fine, get on that ledge. I'm excited for that ledge for you. Like, that is like so rare in this world. Like, there's so many things you can't trust, but like in improv, you really can. And when you find that space that you can do it and the other people who you're like, okay, yeah, we get it. That's so really amazingly beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that because a couple of years or so ago, I moved over to Liverpool to be near my partner. Because she was living here, and I decided to move over. And I joined Liverpool Comedy Improv with Emma Bird. Prior to moving over to Liverpool, I took a year out of improv due to like work and life commitments. So I just didn't have the time to concentrate on improv work and sort of building up a relationship with my partner. So something I had to give, so I just stopped doing improv for about a year or so.
Yeah.
And came over to Liverpool, started up again, and everybody at Liverpool Comedy Improv was so friendly when I the first time I went, everybody was so nice, welcomed me there. I thought, this is what I love about improv, just people meet, you feel so welcome. And like you say, especially the improv community as a whole, since the whole pandemic started, I think I've made so many friends online, including yourself. I think I've made more friends in the past 2 years or so than I had on Facebook prior to all this starting. And it's just been so amazing. Everybody's, like I say, everybody's supportive of what you do in the main. And then, like, people share the successes and things like that. And it's just so nice to see what people are doing. And you just get a glow.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's just like a sort of little community that we all have, and we all, like you said, we all in the main get on. And I'm just so passionate about it. I could talk about it all day.
It is pretty great. You're right about how it's been amazing how the community has really just widened. Like, I've never thought of the world in the global way that I do now. You know what I mean? Like, there's never, I don't know that there's really, truly ever been a time in human history where something has affected the entire world at once. Mm-hmm. And the second part, which I think is really important, is we could all talk to each other about it. Like, we all had the ability to be like, hey, man, crazy, right? And you're like, yeah, over here too. Like, what? You know, and then we can discuss and, like, be real humans about it, right? And the other beautiful thing is, like we're talking about, the base level of an improviser is a trustworthy person who wants to be open and, like, help you out, right? Now we've got people all over the world that are like that, you know, where you can connect with people. And just saying we both do improv establishes a base level of, like, oh, okay, we're like five steps ahead in the friendship process, right? Like, it's not like, who's this guy? What's going on? I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, hey, who's this guy? But there's red flags pretty early on, and certain groups that have connected, people that have been doing the international improv workshops online and everything like that, connecting people, all the, like, worldwide troops that there are, where you're like, yeah, it's six ladies, but they literally are each in a different continent. Like, what? You know, stuff like that. Like, that's amazing that that happened, that we were able to connect and, like, create the art for that. So clearly in your story, it seems improv's not, like, you didn't wake up when you were, 10 years old and go, like, I want to be on a comedy show. Let me make it happen. You've had a life and a career, and, you know, you have other jobs, and improv was something that you found. What about improv, like, what got you there in the first place? For people who might be listening who are like, I don't know, this seems all right, I'm interested, you know, but I'm an engineer, why should I take an improv class? What was it that drew you, and what is it that kept you in the initial?
I don't know if it's still going now, but there's a website called Meetup. It's like a social meetup network. And it's gone all over the world. And I noticed there was an improv group, and I thought, oh, that sounds intriguing. Like I said, the more I'm on one for giving things a go. And if I try it once, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. But at least I've tried it. I've got that can-do attitude of, I'm going to give this a go. And if it fails, it fails. If it doesn't, I can still keep doing it. And that was with improv. I just saw it and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for this. If I don't like it, I don't have to go back again. It's just one evening I've spent in my life doing that. And like I said, I just went along one Thursday evening. This is in the back room of a pub in Manchester. And I did this improv session. I thought, wow, this is amazing. I really do enjoy this. And it was funny because prior to that, many years before, I used to watch Whose Line Is It Anyway in the UK, but I wasn't aware that it was improv. I just thought it was a comedy show. on Channel 4 here in the UK on a Friday evening, and I didn't sort of cotton on to when I first started doing improv, Whose Line Is It Anyway was improv. And I just loved the sense of getting together in an improv class, just doing a scene with someone you've never done a scene with before, just gelling with that partner, just sparking off ideas, looking at what your scene partner's doing. It's just all about that. And yeah, it's been really good for me, and it's really helped me a lot outside of improv as well.
Oh, yeah? You seem like such a primed person. Like, you seem like exactly the kind of person that should do improv. Like, you're like, yeah, I'll try anything once, and, like, I love meeting strangers and having conversations. I was like, great, well, that's improv. Get up in it. Like...
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I class myself as an introvert because I am sociable, but especially like in party situations when there's a lot of people, I find it difficult to sort of initiate conversations. So I'm the type of person that will be on the periphery of a party, holding a drink, waiting for the right time to get into a conversation. I'm not one to sort of strike up a conversation. I can do it, but it takes a lot for me to do that.
Yeah.
Even now, I think I'm more suited to small groups rather than big sort of parties, events.
Yeah.
But I'm more confident than I was. And like I say, it has helped me outside of improv as well, because I'm more confident in the workplace. I do presentations, I lead training. And I think doing improv has helped me to do that, because prior to that, I would be the person in the meeting who wouldn't say a word. But now I would be that person who now will raise an issue and say, look, can I just say something here? I think there's something that needs to be raised. I will be the person that does that now, whereas before, if something came up, I would just keep quiet and just let things sort of roll over, yeah, and just carry on.
It sounds like improv really helped you find your own voice, like get the ability to express yourself in public, even though it's hard, even though, yeah, you might be an introvert and you're like, I don't love this, but I know that I can say, excuse me, boss, I've noticed that on this, third slide, you say this, that doesn't seem correct. And that's helpful, right? Much as people don't love being corrected, knowing like that you have the confidence in yourself to be like, I know there's a problem. I'm going to tell them that there's a problem, right? That's really great. That's really great that it like gave you that confidence.
Yeah, for sure. And not just in meetings, like if any issues come up in the workplace during the day, if I see anything, I'll think, right, oh, yeah, just to let you know that something's come up and you need to sort of look into it.
Yeah.
Because let's say if nobody knows what we're doing is wrong, we're never going to know, and we're just going to carry on doing that thing. And the more they keep doing that thing, the more sort of they're going to do things wrong. So I just it's given me the confidence to express my voice, express my opinion. Yeah.
No, that's so great. From my point of view, like, I really love having these conversations because it really opens my eyes to like the way that different people like receive and live in the world, right? I'm an excessive extrovert. Since a tiny child, I will walk up to strangers, crowds of strangers, and just do bits forever. That's my life, right? Always and forever. And so I have no problem telling you my opinion. I have no problem telling you, hey, by the way, that's spelled wrong. Like, I am just loud out there doing it. But as I get older, you know, my whole life is just the way I see it, right? That's the crazy thing about life. You spend most of your time kind of being like, how do I see it? How do I see it? What's the way that I see it? And then when you get older, like I mentioned, I'm 43, I've started to be like, oh, huh, how do other people live their lives? How do other people take it in, right? And hearing you express this about work and about how improv has helped you, because I get the way that improv helps people because I've taught it for many years and it really helps me just teach it. And it's so such a good sort of therapeutic art, I think. And to hear that it like helped you, like empowered you to be able to use your voice and like that you were not saying things that you should have at work before, or maybe in your relationships, you know, in the world, you know, it's like, excuse me, you're a little close. Some people too nervous to even say that. But once you find the confidence in like, no, I'm an important person, I will stand up for myself. That's really amazing. And I like love that improv did that for you, that improv gave you that, right? That's a wonderful, that's a wonderful bit of skill that I'm so glad that improv has been part of helping you develop as you've gotten older. Man. So for you, how has like being at home and doing Zoom improv changed the way you're taking it in or expressing? Is it like better now? Like, are you like, oh, I'm an introvert and I get to do Zoom improv, which means I get to like just close the book and it's done. You know what I mean? As opposed to like, and now I've got to extricate myself from this social situation and leave this theater and then drive home. You know, like now it's just like, great, end of show. End video and you're done, right? How does it feel? How do you like it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, at first, when this all first started, I was a bit sort of unsure of how this would work, doing Zoom prof, because we never had to have done it before, obviously. But as time went on, when we realized that this pandemic was going to go on longer than we anticipated, I've got used to it. I do really enjoy it now. I do really enjoy doing online improv because I'm part of a group called the Oikers, like a short form improv group. And we met online through one of Emma Bird's intermediate courses at Liverpool Comedy Improv. And because we are spread out across the northwest of England, it's difficult for us to meet in person, so we do meet. We do meet up every couple of weeks online. So we've all been used to work doing improv online anyway. And being with the Oikers, it's been an amazing experience because it was Emma Bird that saw the potential in us, and she thought, oh, well, you would work well together as an improv group. Why don't you start off on your own? So we did. We've done a few shows. We've done a couple of shows online, and we did a show in person before Christmas, which was really good, in Liverpool. And we've got another one coming up at the end of the week, this week.
Online or in person?
In person. I can't make it, unfortunately, though. Because at the moment, I'm sort of taking a step back from in-person improv because of what's going on. And yeah. I made the decision not to do, like, go out to pubs or restaurants or like concerts or anything like that until I felt sure that things were sort of going down with rates of things again. So I'm not doing the show on Friday. There are the other Oikers are, but I'm not. So I just felt for me at the moment, it just didn't feel safe at the moment. And I think also it's recognizing your energy at that moment in time as well, because sometimes my energy can be high and I want to do as much improv as possible. And then there are other times when it's really low.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to take a step back and just look after myself and concentrate on life outside, improv sometimes. And I think that's an important thing, because improv is a part of your life, but it's not all your life. And there are moments in time when you think, right, I need to take a break, take stock, do other things in your life which are not improv related. And then when you feel that the time's right to go back, just go back. When you feel that your energy is in a good position.
I hope that this time has helped all of us to be more, easygoing with one another about those personal journeys of moments when you need to take a break and, you know, you're like, I'm feeling great now. Let's book a ton of shows. Like, let's do it. And then having the, you know, taking care of yourself and then also respecting your friends' boundaries enough when they're like, hey, I need to take the next like 3 weeks to like be inside now. And you're like, great, no problem. I got you. We'll see you when you get back. Like, I feel like there's been so much, you know, as you mentioned earlier, this pandemic has lasted longer than we expected and has, you know, fun little peaks and valleys, and the way that we are made to feel, you know, like some days I'm like raring to go. All right, let's do this. Let's make it happen. And some days I'm like, I'm just going to lay here. And that's enough, you know? And I feel like during this time, because we all sort of reflected on it, talked about it, and there was a moment where, like, literally everyone was just, like, in their pajamas, and we were like, what are we gonna do now? I feel like that allowed us some opening to respect those moments in your life when you need the downtime, you know? And I think that that's really good self-care. To acknowledge when you need those moments. Because if you don't, you can just push yourself and then crush yourself, right? Like too much. You need a moment to breathe, right? You need to reinflate before you can keep pushing again.
Yeah, because there's been a couple of times during this pandemic where I've just literally felt overwhelmed and had to sort of come off social media and just stop doing improv for a couple of weeks or so, just because it's just got too much. And it's been a lot to take in for everybody. So I've recognized the fact that, look, I'm going to come off Facebook, Instagram, whatever, for a while, because I need time for myself. And like after a couple of weeks, I think, right, I feel okay now, I'm fine, but I've needed those couple of weeks or so just to take stock, reflect, take time for myself. And I've said to everybody, look, I'm going to take a couple on Facebook. I've made a post and said, look, I'm going to take some time out. And people, like I say, people are so supportive. They understand why, because they've probably been through the same situation themselves. And so it's just, like I say, it's just important to recognize when you get to a certain point and look after yourself.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, and I feel like it's part of the whole journey of like creating things, of like having a creative life, right? Because there's something to balancing both your, you know, like we're talking about the adulting that we had to do today before we started recording. Like, we have to do all this sort of business stuff for our life, right? You know, calling the plumber and making sure that my kid gets to school on time. Like, we got to do these things that are like, okay, what's my to-do list for today? But then there's the creative part. There's the part that fills us up, that like makes us feel like we are, you know, thriving in this world, right? What are the things about improv that you love that keep pulling you back, so that even when you take time off and you take those moments, you're still like, yes, improv still on the list of priorities when I get back into the world? What about it keeps you falling in love with it?
I think the main thing for me is just all the friends that I've made, especially since we've gone online, all the people and friends I've made from around the world. So obviously prior to all this, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to do all these workshops we've been able to do online.
True.
Like, I've done workshops with like Jay Succo and Stephanie Ray and Michelle Gilliam and countless others I can't think of at the moment, but like, you would never have got those opportunities. The only way you would have been able to do so, you would have had to travel to wherever those improvisers were, which would have been, would have cost money and time. But you've been able to do it in the comfort of your own front room or bedroom or wherever you're doing Zoom Prof from. And it's just been incredible meeting all these people from all around the world and having these connections. And that's the one thing that's kept me going. That's the most important thing I think of improv. It's just the friends I've made. And we have both just, like you said, we discuss the things outside of improv. Like, there's the improvisers talk about food group, which...
The best group on the internet. Get it. Know it. Love it.
I mean, I don't post on there often, but I lurk and see what people have posted. I've seen you post things, and I think Ari, I think, posts things on there every day. Like, what are you...
Yeah, he's definitely just the ambassador of food there, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just so great to have done all these workshops with these amazing improvisers who have done improv for so many years. And like, I hope at some point eventually that when I feel safe enough to sort of travel to meet these people in real life. I mean, if that's in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks' time, Michelle Gilliam and Vanessa Anton are coming over to England. So that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be so fun. Absolutely. Yeah. I hope things are feeling safer for you so you can go meet them. Yeah. As I've heard people say, see their legs.
Yeah. it's just seeing, I mean... It's just amazing seeing improvisers in the flesh for the first time. Because over here, when we first met as the Oikers, some of us had never met in person.
Right.
We'd only met through... Yeah. So first time most of us met was Emma Bird had done what she calls park prov. So we did improv in one of the local parks in Liverpool.
Fun.
And most of the Oikers actually met on that day for the first time. That was a really good afternoon.
Man, isn't that wild, too, that it's like people from like just different parts of your own country and you still would not have met them? Like, if not for the internet, if not for these online connections, like people, you just wouldn't have connected with them. Or even people where you're like, wait, you live so close. Like, how did we never? I mean, like, I literally have my guest this week that came out that is my writing teacher. She lives in my town. I joke with her all the time. I'm like, you live next door to me, don't you? Like, that's what's happening. Like, we've never met, right? When I look at Facebook, our list of mutual friends is like intense. Like, it's like hundreds. You know what I mean? It's like, how do we never meet? But just, you know, sometimes you just don't cross paths with people. And then all of a sudden, the magic moment, and there you are. You guys are all the Ikers.
Yeah, it's like we literally, most of us live in either Liverpool or Chester, which isn't far from Liverpool, or North Wales. And I think it's like 30-40 miles sort of round trip around Liverpool and North Wales and Chester. And it's like before the pandemic, we probably would have travelled to meet each other, but we've only met for the first time in the summer last year. It's just mind-blowing to think of sometimes that you're not meeting people like the show I mentioned that I did before Christmas. There was those and the Broken Chair Improv team and Boss Birds and a few of them had, most of them had met before in the before times, as I call them.
Yeah.
But some of them I'd never met in person. I've done improv online, but it's, wow, so it's you. Oh, finally we meet in person. God, we've never met before. On person, have we? No, it's just, so it's just, that evening was nice. It's just nice actually meeting people in person that you never met until that point. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I love meeting new people, especially these days. It's so rare now. I'm just like, yeah. Tell me everything.
Yeah, I think I was last year at some point. I finally met up with David Escobedo for the first time. I went to one of his improv sessions in Chester.
Oh.
And like, we've been friends for ages, and he's been so supportive of what I've done. And like, it was just so amazing finally meeting him in the flesh in Chester. Yeah, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, it's so awesome to connect with people, like to meet in person somebody who you've met online for so long.
Yeah.
Like, you know, these days, even just if you see a person's nose you haven't seen. Like, I have friends who, like, I just saw masked for a while because they were, like, moms of other preschoolers, my kids in preschool. And so we'd talk, but we'd talk with masks. And then, like, one day I saw this girl's nose and I was just like, that's what you look like? Like, I had no idea, you know what I mean? Like, I had this whole thing in my head, but I had no idea. And it was, like, this revelation of, like, wow. I thought I was friends with this girl. I'm friends with a totally different girl. Like, wow, this is wild. So I wanted to ask you, you've mentioned Emma Bird a couple of times. Tell me, how is she your main improv inspiration? Is she the like leader of your, you know, area's improv and like, you know, helps inspire improvisers in your area to do fun projects?
Yeah, she's the main inspiration in the Liverpool area for a lot of improvisers. So I think she set up Liverpool Comedy Improv about 5 years ago, maybe more, because she's from Liverpool originally, but she moved away for a while. And then she came back. And then she'd done improv in Brighton. She lived in Brighton on the south coast of England. And she started doing improv there. With a group, I can't remember what they called at the top of my head, but she did improv there, and then she came back to Liverpool, decided to set up her own group, and it's going from strength to strength, and she's inspired a lot of people, including myself. She's just an amazing teacher. I mean, I've learned so much from her. She's so supportive of what we do in improv, and like when we did the online courses and classes, you know, you've done a good scene because you can hear Emma laughing in the background. You can sort of hear this sort of cackle in the background when the scene's going really well. You could just hear Emma's laugh, and I think that really inspires you to go even further sometimes when you hear that laugh sometimes, and that's encouragement in itself.
I love that teacher laugh. That's my favorite. I teach improv, and my favorite is to teach 101, like the early improvisers. Oh, this is your first time? Great. I'll take care of you. And my favorite thing is at their show at the end of class, like just laughing so hard so they can like feel inspired and like, you know, get better and feel like they're doing it, you know. That's my favorite. I love that. That's so wonderful. What a wonderful inspiration.
Yeah, and she's inspired so many groups to start up, like my group, the Oikers, and then Broken Chair. They met through one of Emma's intermediate courses. That was in person before the pandemic. So there's Broken Share. And then Emma's also set up a group called Boss Birds, which is like a all-female group. It's the only sort of female improv group in Liverpool. So they're really good. So they've sort of come from Liverpool Comedy Improv as well. So, yeah, so there's a lot of groups coming out of Liverpool now, and there could be more in the future, because I know at the moment there's a group of beginners who are on the next stage doing another course, so they could be the next group to start. So it's just good to see all these groups springing from Liverpool Comedy Improv and just spreading the word of improv around Liverpool. It's just really amazing to see, and there's so much talent there. It's just so many funny people you see drop-ins and courses and sessions. It's just so good to watch and be part of.
It sounds like a great community. That's wonderful that you have that where you're at.
Yeah, yeah. It is, yeah.
Awesome. So for you, is there a way in which you're home a lot? You know, you're working from home and, you know, the pandemic, it keeps you there for a bunch. Yeah. Other than improv, are there other ways that you're creatively filling up your cup? I mean, you mentioned that you're on the Improvisers Talking About Food group, but are you still like enjoying the artistry of cooking in your own home, or what is it that's like keeping you or filling you back up during those moments when you go home and you're relaxing, but you're needing to shore up your inspiration, your vibes?
Yeah, so I love cooking, so that's something that gives me great enjoyment, just cooking, preparing the meal, just doing that. Obviously, a lot of the pandemic, a lot of places were closed, so me and my partner enjoy going out for walks, so we just really enjoy nature. We're fortunate in Liverpool to have a lot of really amazing parks to go to walk around. So, and there's a lot of, and we live near the coast as well, so there's a lot of beach walks that we do. We've got Formby and Crosby, which is like north of Liverpool, so we go there for walks now and again. We've got the waterfront in the city centre along the River Mersey, so we walk along there, just enjoy walking in nature and just enjoying that. Just getting into meditation lately as well. We've both discovered this is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he's called Thich Nhat Hanh. He's 95 now, but for many years he was exiled from Vietnam because of his views against the wars that were going on in Vietnam. So for many years he couldn't go back to Vietnam, so he set up a retreat in France where people can go to and get away from it all. And he's written loads of books about sort of meditation and mindfulness. And there's an app which you can find on Android or iPhone called the Plum Village app, where you've got loads of meditations and podcasts and talks, which are really, really, really good to listen to. And I find they really help to wind down sometimes at the end of an evening before like going to bed. And cause sometimes when your mind's racing, you just want to calm down. And just doing meditation just helps with that.
Yeah.
And when we're able to, we like going to music gigs. We both love music. My partner's got a really massive vinyl record collection. I mean, it's overtaken the living room almost. She's got so many records. Yeah,
awesome.
We both love music, and we've We're hoping to get to some more gigs this year. We managed to get to a few before Christmas when things opened up again in the UK last year. So, yeah.
Were you able to watch any, like, online ones with your favorite bands or anything? I know that, like, for a while, like, famous bands were just doing, like, Zooms with, you know, playing their music. You know, like, the band would be in the room and then you could watch and you're like, oh, my God, they're right there. You know, like, did you see any concerts? I did a couple of comedy shows like that.
No, we did concerts, but we did watch the National Theatre in the UK was screening shows online.
Oh.
Watched a couple of those. One of them was Streetcar Named Desire.
Wow, all right.
And it had Gillian Anderson in it.
Yeah.
She played Blanche DuBois, and she was amazing. That was really awesome to watch. That was filmed a few years ago, but they showed it for free.
Sure.
On the National Arts website. They were showing, at the beginning, they were showing shows for free for like a period of time.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. We watched that.
Fine.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that, like, a lot of things that I used to go do, especially now that I have a little kid, I find a lot of at-home ways to do it because, you know, you can't go out. My improv, like, lifestyle of classes and shows at night really isn't a thing anymore. So now I've replaced it with, you know, like, writing groups online and, you know, watching play readings on Zoom, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, that's my level of entertainment. But I do appreciate how much stuff people are, like, you know, still putting out there. And, you know, even some of the celebrities who are, like, still trying to do connecting things with their fans, because it's like, hey, we're all still home. Like, yeah, I know I'm in a trailer and I'm going to be in a movie next week, but, you know, it's a lot of money. Whenever I see famous people and they're like, I can't believe they're making movies. And I was like, you know how much effort it is for them to do that? Like, they get tested like 3 times a day. They get, like, they can't talk to each other. My uncle was in a television show and they used to just be able to hang out, you know, in between takes and scenes and stuff. And they made them all stay alone in their own individual trailers. Like, so before they went on to a scene, they'd just make them stay apart. It was like, well, that's super weird. And they're like, yeah. And then they call you and like 20 of us all come in to do this scene. And it's like, great. And then they're like, okay, now go back. So it's like such a weird, like, life experience. So when I see people making videos like online to connect with their fans, I'm like, that poor person's been stuck alone in a trailer and they're like, who can I talk to? Ah, Facebook. And people are like, you're great, I love you. And they're like, whew, okay, I got that, I feel better now. Now I can go do that scene, hook me up in the harness, you know, whatever it might be. Oh, man, we're all adjusting, right? We're all trying to find our way to living in this, you know, sort of new universe where part of it's online and part of it is in person, hopefully more in person as it goes. But it's OK. I mean, while it's winter for me, it's fine. I'll stay inside.
Yes, that's what we're doing at the moment. We're staying in. We're just watching box sets. So at the moment, we're watching The Sopranos. We're just going through that.
Ooh, nice.
But at the same time, we've got a couple of things to look forward to later in the year. We've got a couple of concerts. We're seeing Krangbin at Easter. I don't know if you've heard of Krangbin.
Mm-mm.
No, they're based in the US group, sort of very funky, sort of soul-y type. We were really good. We came across them a couple of years back and done a couple of albums. They are really good. I'd recommend them, listening to them. So they're coming over to the UK around Easter. And then later on in the year, about October, Pavement are coming over to the UK. They're doing a reunion tour, so we're going to see them in Manchester. And we'll probably book a few more concerts as and when they get announced. And hopefully we may, if things improve a lot more, we probably try and get abroad, because that's what me and my partner do miss a lot, going abroad, because we used to go abroad a lot.
Yeah.
I think the last time we went abroad was to Vienna, probably, well, you know, 2 years ago, just before this started. So, yeah. So we used to have a couple of breaks twice a year abroad. So we've been away in the UK last year or so, but it's just nice to get abroad and experience different things. So we're hoping to do that at some point.
Yeah, totally. Once I feel more comfortable traveling internationally, and really not, I'm more worried about bringing my United States germs to people. I'm dying to go travel in and visit Ari. I want to like go to his town and like rent like 6 Airbnbs for a bunch of us, and then like just have like a cooking week, you know, where we like just all like cook food for each other, or like pretty much honestly like just Ari cooks for all of us was really what's going on. And that'll be so fun. We'll make it like, it'll be like, is this an improv tour? Nah, it's more like a cooking, hanging out in Norway kind of tour. You know, it's good. Just for a vacay, hang out with your friends. Who do you talk to every day online? Well, now I can talk to them in person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to try to figure out a way to make it happen. Mm. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the right thing to do.
That's the thing. There's so many people we probably both met online. And it's like, how many of them are there that you want to meet in person? You mean, it just blows your mind. Just blows your mind to think about it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really opened up the world in a way that I didn't understand it before. It's established a globalization of my worldview, of my understanding that I just didn't have before. You know, and you know, I know there's a certain level of like, yes, well, Americans, a bit obtuse. I get it. You're right. But at the same time, like, just to be able to talk to people, like, even just about whatever. Like, just the other day, I'm on a thread talking about that new Disney movie, Encanto. Me and 3 other people talking, all of us from different countries, like all over the world. And we're like, well, what I think is, it's like, what a hilarious, that's why I love the food group, because we're like, is that how you, is that what you guys call them? Bell peppers? Like the discussions that we get to have, the fact that I'm like, oh, wait, we don't all call them bell peppers. Like, I love learning that kind of stuff. I love connecting with people. I love being able to just like chat, like throw a meme on somebody's, you know, wall that's like in a hole the other side of the earth, right? And yet we were both like, ah, so fun. Like, how are we connecting? Like, even you and I, we are so far away from each other. Like, it is wild. Yet, you know, we've connected online a bunch of times. We have this shared interest. We like have a base of knowledge where it's like we can just enter into a conversation and be comfortable. I mean, even now, you and I, we have a big day today. We're adulting. There's a lot of stuff going on for us right now. We jumped right into this conversation. Usually when I do the podcast, I talk to people for like an hour before. But you and I were like, what's up? We got this. High fives. Let's get it done. Like, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that we were able to do it because we started with this base level of respect. We started with this like, we know each other. Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to you like 20 times, like yesterday. You know what I mean? And that's what's fun. That's the beauty of the globalization, the connection that we've all been able to make in this, where the improv community has become global and we've all been able to connect. I'm just so glad that it's happened in this way. I'm sorry for the circumstances, but I am so happy that I'm connected across the world the way that I am now.
Well, me too, because like, as well as food, and then the latest thing that everybody's talking about at the moment is that Wordle game.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Like every time I go on Facebook, I see, oh, somebody's posted the latest game and that, what their result was. And like 2 hours later, somebody else across the world managed to get it, because I think it comes on in your part of the world. So I think some people get it early than others. So like,
oh, sure.
Jay in the Philippines will get it first because he's about 12 hours ahead of us. So sure. he'll be doing it. And then there'll be somebody else in the US will be doing it 12 hours later because they've only just got it then. And it's like, oh, I've got 3 out of 6. Four out of 6. Like, when somebody's...
Yeah, like everyone's competing and they're all over the world. Like, also, like, pretty impressive of the Wordle app makers that it's just international from the get. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, it just started in the US or, oh, it just started wherever they're from or whatever. Like, you know, and then occasionally it moves out. It's like, I heard about this game and then all of a sudden it was like everyone across the world is playing it. Like, wow. Yeah. That's some like fast, exciting, like people are into it stuff right there. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be connected. It's wonderful that you and I had this opportunity to connect. I'm really glad that I got a chance to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No, it's been a pleasure. And I'm so glad to finally meet you at last after all this time. It's nice to actually speak to you and hear your voice, because rather than just seeing a message on a social media platform, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Yes But Why Podcast. Check out all of our episodes on yesbutwhypodcast.com or check out all the content on our network HC Universal at hcuniversalnetwork.com.